The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
Welcome to Inside the Edition. This is Mike Consa with Loretta Cloudfelter, Editorial Director of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. This is our monthly version of the movie trailer for the upcoming edition, the February 2024 edition. Per usual, Loretta, we are awaiting a highlight or two with bated breath. What do you got coming in the February edition?
I really want to highlight the lead feature of the February issue. It's called To Sell or Not to Sell. That is the question. And the answer may lie in whether you can afford to hold. And it's by one of our, I know. It's
very
by
Shakespearean. One of our,
well, and I think we are in a Shakespearean era. The question remains whether it'll be a tragedy or a comedy.
Good point. Sometimes people laugh to alleviate the pain. So hopefully it's a comedy, like laughing all the way to the bank. But as you suggest, it could be a tragedy too. What is the calculus for whether to sell or not to sell? And do you even have the option to sell in some cases?
I think the question of whether or not to sell is whether or not you have to. I mean, as we have discussed, and as everyone knows, we're kind of in an era where the only sellers are forced sellers. And so if you are looking to buy, you're only interested in buying at a pretty good discount at, you know, you're looking for bargains. The challenges are, for buyers, are you near the top or the bottom? Obviously, buyers always want to buy at the bottom. Sellers, on the other hand, would prefer to sell at the top, not at the bottom. So if we are closer to the bottom than we are to the top, the question of whether or not to sell really depends on whether you have to. And that's really sort of the point that the article makes. And then it gets into the question of, well, why might you have to? And that is going to have to deal on the interest rate situation and, you know, your sort of capital situation and your financial position. You know, the biggest risks right now are floating rate loans for office properties. You know, that's a rough situation because, you know, the debt service is going to be difficult and the office market is in some significant trouble. You know, the other thing that you might find is, you know, so as an owner of a property, especially an office property, but honestly, at this point, most properties, you know, you have a limited number of options when it comes to refinancing. At this point, the only lender who's willing or available in most cases for an office property refinancing is the existing lender, because they're already on the hook. They're already in the mess. They're already on this train. It's not looking good. And honestly, the best option is generally to make a deal with them, because they're also in the mess.
Yeah.
They don't want to
own that property.
Beyond
the loan. They don't want to operate or have to turn around and look for a buyer. That's for sure. That's not their business.
Yeah. So, you know, we're in a situation where values are declining, interest rates are rising, and, you know, there are pockets of distress. We're not quite in widespread distress, I think, outside of the, you know, outside of certain property types. It's, you know, we have actually avoided so far a recession. The economy is good. And so, you know, in many cases, property fundamentals are still pretty good. This is not a operating problem, setting office aside for now. And even office as and we talked about this last month, even office as an operating issue is only certain properties in certain markets. It's very bifurcated. The best office buildings are not in trouble, but the worst office buildings are in significant trouble.
And they're still building office. There's not a lot of construction, but some really you know, people who still, like, for instance, Heinz is building these very high-end high-rises, very modern high-rises. They still believe in office. But boy, if you're not putting something out there that's compelling, you're really not, I don't think a whole lot of people are going to salute.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that also gets discussed in this article, and I think this is something you've also seen and covered in Real Assets Advisor, is is what's being called dequity or debt, you know, like it's part debt, yes. Part equity, it's dequity.
Exactly.
And that's really what's going to be needed to sort of refinance and reposition a lot of these properties is something, you know, higher up the capital stack. Maybe most of the equity has been wiped out. Maybe you're coming in sort of a debt position, sort of an equity position. You want the upside of equity. You want the downside protections of debt. You're coming up with some sort of preferred or mezz structure. I think that's where it's going to be a lot of really interesting investment opportunities. And again, that's because there aren't a lot of transactions happening. So most of what's happening right now is restructuring existing ownerships. Is that a sale? Kind of, but it's not a full transaction the way we would think of it. And it's certainly not, you know, arm's length.
Yeah. Well, I remember during the Obama years, people were just assuming it's time for a recession. It's time for the economy to cool off. Not that it was razor super hot at that time. People were complaining it wasn't growing fast enough, but it was steady. Everybody was waiting for the fall to come. There was a plethora of debt funds, distressed debt funds that were sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But the economy just kept ticking along. And really, then, you know, now we see office caught the virus. It was fatal for office in terms of just what it was. And so office has had this big decrease. Of the other major property types, I mean, every major property type has seen a decrease in value, correct?
Absolutely. And it's you can't not see a valuation reset with these higher interest rates. It's just, you know, of course, you're going to see a valuation reset. And in some cases, the valuation reset has been clearest in the apartment market. And that's because in the apartment market, we still have transactions. Industrial as well still has transactions. And so because there's transactions, we can see it's a healthier market. Yes, there's been, I think it's in the MSCI real assets numbers, you know, I think we saw maybe a 12%, I think, year over year loss for the apartments. The industrial market valuations are more or less flat over the last year, which, you know, actually puts it well on top of all the other property types. The challenge is that we may see more distress elsewhere as these higher interest rates continue to put pressure on the market. You know, and I think we saw considerable optimism in the last months of 2023 as the market started to absorb the idea that maybe we had hit our maximum on interest rates, maybe inflation was under control, and maybe the Fed was going to start stepping back in 2024. As you know, there was a big rally in REIT stocks. Even office REITs had a big rally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, surprising, but yeah, they did too. So I can imagine a real estate owner or investors in a workout telling, you know, the thing to do right now is hold. I mean, you don't want to sell, but so they have a compelling, I think, argument to make with the lender that if you keep me in a position where I can hold on to this property, if you show some forbearance here, I can make this deal whole in the end because the market's going to bounce back. Why take a loss? But if your portfolio includes a lot of office, I think you're really kind of in a bind because I don't think you can make the argument that it's going to bounce back completely.
Well, yeah. And so the question that a lot of people are sitting on is, okay, well, sell out now at what feels like a bottom or, you know, hold and hope that values go back up, or, maybe this isn't the bottom. Maybe we're actually just, halfway down the hill and it's going to keep rolling downward. So that's the kind of decision point that a lot of property owners are having to make. So for a lot of office owners, what it's really going to depend is on the individual property. They're going to have to look at their strategy for that individual property. It's going to depend on the market. It's going to depend on the asset management. It's going to depend on their current debt structures. And all of that is going to have to be determined on an individual basis, property by property, portfolio by portfolio. And that takes time. And so, in that question of to sell or not to sell, I think one of the reasons we've seen so little transaction activity in the last year is that everyone is sitting down and making these calculations one step at a time. And, at the same time that you're asking, well, should I sell or should I not sell? I'm seeing some really interesting research come out about, appraised value versus sales value. And there is quite a gap between where values are being appraised and where values are transacting. And that's because, there actually aren't enough transactions for the appraisers to feel comfortable pulling those numbers down. So we end up in this situation where you think the building probably should trade at an 8 cap, but it's being appraised at a 5 cap. So, but that if you put it on the market, you'd never get a 5. And you're kind of like, well, okay, I guess I'm a little stuck here. And, now multiply that by every single building in the NCREIF property index.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, that it would be a Shakespearean tragedy if, as you suggest, we're not at the bottom. And when you think about 2024, there's still people who are predicting a recession, which is not good for real estate either.
No. I mean, well, it's funny. I did actually have somebody say that they had run out a few different scenarios for their holdings. And the best scenario in that situation was a mild recession because it would bring rates down.
Oh, yeah. Well,
not
that's
not
a
deep recession, not a deep recession,
just
but
mild.
A mild recession is actually the best case scenario for real estate. Now, I think, looking ahead, and the article goes into some detail about this, but, looking ahead, 2023 was very much a year of wait and see. 2024 may be a bit of a transition, and 2025 is, I think, when things might finally really turn around. Those of us who have been in the industry for a while might remember, I believe it was Sam Zell's famous line from the RTC crisis and aftermath to stay alive till 95. And
that was during the RTC crisis, you said?
Yeah. In the wake of it, yeah. So post that, the idea was just stay alive till 95. And then after the dot-com collapse, it was, survive till 2005. Once again, stay alive till 2005. This time around, we are going to survive till 25. It once again, we love to have these rhyming years. And it does kind of go to show that, history may not repeat itself, but it may rhyme.
Yes, or we'll force it to rhyme if it doesn't rhyme.
And so I guess, we talked about Shakespeare. We talked about, is this a tragedy or a comedy? Maybe this is a history play. Maybe we are just reenacting things that have happened before. I think the people who have more experience in the industry are going to be much better positioned in the year or two ahead. I think the people who are new to commercial real estate, people who joined the industry after the GFC, and there are a lot of them. The GFC was,
been a while.
It's been 15 years, I think, since things really, really happened. It's 2024. There is a whole generation of people who have not been through a proper real estate downturn. And, I think we are going to see, those people with more experience have a better position. So I want to close with a comment by Jeff Reeder at Center Square, who was interviewed for the article. And he says, why sell into this environment if you don't need to? Why sell if you have a fundamentally solid investment and you can hold for another couple of years waiting for the capital markets environment to improve?
Bill Shakespeare couldn't have done it better than him.
And so I think fundamentally that's the situation we're in. You know, to sell or not to sell, only if you have to.